This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired, where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are embarking on a journey really digging into some truly powerful writings. We're diving deep into themes of finding hope, you know, and embracing second chances. And our entire exploration today is centered around the profound insights shared by David Averett. He's the CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach. And anchoring our deep dive, really setting the stage for everything we're about to explore, it's this central quote. It comes directly from Mr. Averett himself. It really distills the essence of his approach, I think. He says, "We give you the key, you open the door. That's the power of Hopi's key."
Wow. That quote, it's more than just a tagline, isn't it? It really feels like a mission statement. So for this deep dive, we're going to unpack the wisdom woven through David Averett's writings and his blog post, too. We'll explore what he really means by genuine hope, look honestly at some potential pitfalls people might run into, you know, on any journey of spiritual or personal improvement. And then we'll break down a remarkably practical sort of four-pillar framework that he presents for truly building a new life.
Absolutely. And what makes this deep dive, I think, particularly compelling is that it all leads up to this powerful real-life story. We're going to hear how this whole framework actually played out for one individual, Michael. It really shows that this isn't just theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hope in action, a tangible path to a second chance. It shows that being well-informed about these ideas means seeing not just what they are, but how they work in reality. So, okay, let's jump right in. Mr. Everett's writing, it doesn't shy away from addressing something he calls the elephant in the room.
Mm.
And this is a situation, well, many people face when they're looking for help or guidance, especially maybe within certain organizational or even church environments.
Yeah, and that's such a crucial place to start because it speaks directly to the authenticity of the hope that's being offered. Chaplain David points out that, unfortunately, not every group or church environment you might encounter is genuinely operating with your best interests truly at heart. He observes that sometimes people can feel a significant amount of pressure, you know, from groups that present a very rigid list of must-dos.
Right, like a checklist.
Exactly. Things like tithing a specific amount or achieving salvation according to their timeline, getting baptized immediately, joining that specific church, or jumping straight into, say, intensive discipleship programs. And the implication often is that these actions must be completed, often really hastily, before you can expect to feel better or receive blessings or even just be fully accepted by the group.
Yeah, that sounds it sounds almost like a transaction or like a compliance checklist, not a real journey.
Yeah.
So what does Mr. Averett say about the outcome of this kind of pressure?
Well, his perspective is incredibly insightful and I think compassionate. While he absolutely affirms that these actions, you know, tithing, salvation, baptism, church membership, discipleship, are essential, vital, and reasonable steps on a spiritual path, he emphasizes that the crucial caveat, the absolute core requirement for them to be effective and lasting, is that they must be steps you take when you are genuinely ready.
Ah, okay. The timing and the readiness.
Precisely. He writes that forcing these actions alone, just checking them off a list under duress, simply won't provide genuine hope or lasting satisfaction.
So the pressure itself actually undermines the very thing you're trying to achieve.
Exactly.
Right.
Doing these things when you're not truly ready, when it feels forced or, I don't know, like a performance, it can make the entire spiritual or self-improvement journey feel incredibly confining, disingenuous, and ultimately just not sustainable. It's like building a house on sand, you know? It might look good from the outside for a moment, but it lacks that true foundation.
He connects this feeling too, right? This feeling of being rushed or pressured.
Mm-hmm.
He compares it to a kind of warning sign. Almost like a salesperson pushing hard for an immediate deal, that urgent now or never feeling.
Yes, He highlights that exact feeling in his memoirs, that urgency, that lack of patience for your individual process. He says that's a red flag. And he backs this up with some powerful scripture. He uses the King James Version. He references Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21. It reads, "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed."
That's a striking verse in this context. How does he explain how that reinforces his point?
Well, he uses it to illustrate the principle that important steps in life, especially foundational ones in your spiritual or personal journey, they shouldn't be rushed or undertaken under duress. The verse warns that while you might gain something quickly or hastily at the start, that lack of proper foundation or genuine process means the end result won't be blessed. It won't be sustainable.
It won't last.
Right. It reinforces the idea that a quick, forced start often leads to a poor, unblessed finish.
And Mr. Averitt makes a really key observation about the long-term outcome for individuals who experience this pressure. What does he tend to see happen?
He notes in his writing that individuals who feel pressured into making these significant spiritual commitments, like, say, saying a prayer for salvation without truly understanding or desiring it, or being baptized just because of external expectations, or joining a church out of obligation, he finds they often don't remain in that environment for very long. They tend to just fade away. They drift back to old patterns or simply disengage entirely.
And why does he believe this happens? What's the analysis behind that observation in his writings?
His analysis really goes to the core of what true transformation requires. He points out that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that these pivotal moments, these foundational commitments, must originate from a sincere heart. It's not just about the outward action alone. When your heart is truly involved, when the desire is genuine and driven by something deeper than just external pressure, then your spirit is also engaged. And that alignment, that connection between heart and spirit, that's what leads to commitments that are authentic, powerful, and lasting. He goes a bit deeper too, discussing the difference between the heart and the soul in this context, as he describes it in his writing. A decision made purely under duress, he argues. Even if someone goes through the motions and outwardly claims sincerity, it lacks genuine meaning because the soul isn't aligned. The soul, he writes, often rebels against or simply rejects what feels coerced or manipulated or just not freely chosen. There's a disconnect, you see, between the outward compliance and the inner reality.
That seems to tie directly into another significant scripture reference he uses. He brings in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, again from the King James Version. It's a very well-known verse. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." How does he use this to really underscore the need for a sincere heart over just, you know, outward conformity?
It's the perfect scripture to encapsulate this whole point, really. Man, Chaplain David explains, tends to look at the outward appearance. Did they check the boxes? Did they say the right words during a prayer? Did they go through the ritual of baptism? Did they sign the membership paper?
Yeah, the surface stuff.
Exactly. That's looking at the countenance or stature of the spiritual life, as the verse puts it. But God, the verse tells us, looks at the heart. The inner motivation, the depth of the desire, the genuineness of the surrender or commitment. David Averitt is essentially saying that the kind of pressure tactics he described earlier, they focus entirely on that outward appearance, forcing someone to look committed, often way too early. While what God is actually waiting for is the true inner commitment that flows naturally from a heart that's genuinely willing to change, guided by the Holy Spirit, not just by urgent external demands.
Okay.
So the main takeaway from this section, as Chaplain David presents it in his memoirs, is incredibly crucial for anyone seeking a genuine path forward. It is absolutely vital to engage in spiritual practices and make spiritual commitments at your own pace, a pace that is guided by the Holy Spirit and God's prompting rather than being driven or dictated by external pressure from others.
Your own pace.
Yeah.
Guided by God.
Yes. He stresses that proper spiritual growth, the kind that leads to lasting change and genuine hope, stems fundamentally from a willing spirit, not a pressured one. He does mention that listening to other resources, like a podcast called From Whisper to Whirlwind, The Six Realities of a God-Called Life, can help deepen understanding of God's prompting. But the core message here in this writing is about that internal sincerity versus external coercion.
That makes so much sense. It's really about an invitation, isn't it? Not a demand. And he includes a quote in this section that beautifully captures this contrast, you know, between the feeling of pressure and the natural dawning of hope. Mr. Everett says, "Hope is the sunrise after the darkest night. It's the promise of a brand new day." I say that. That image just feels so organic, so natural, like something that unfolds gently and powerfully, which is such a stark contrast to being forced into something prematurely.
It really highlights that natural, beautiful unfolding that true hope represents, doesn't it? A dawning you welcome because it follows the dark, not some requirement imposed on you while you're still in the middle of it. It speaks to hope as an inherent promise, not a condition of performance.
Mm.
So moving on from addressing those potential pitfalls of pressure, Mr. Averitt transitions in his writing to presenting the core path forward, the foundational principle that, in his view, is the key to navigating life's challenges and rekindling hope. He writes that the most powerful way to do this is to engage with God humbly.
And he identifies his favorite scripture, the one he actually calls the cornerstone of proper guidance, which beautifully encapsulates this principle. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in the King James Version. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
That scripture really is a masterclass in humble engagement, isn't it? David Averitt breaks it down in his writing. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means complete reliance. Not holding back any part of yourself or your situation from him. It's a holistic trust. Then lean not unto thine own understanding. That's acknowledging our human limitations. Our intellect, our experiences, our logic, while valuable, are often incomplete or biased or simply not enough to navigate the complexities of life, especially when we're facing big challenges.
Right. We don't always see the whole picture.
Exactly. It's recognizing that relying solely on our own perception is often leaning on a faulty crutch.
And the third part, in all thy ways acknowledge him. What does that look like?
That means bringing God into every single part of your life, not just the spiritual bits on Sunday, you know, but acknowledging his presence, his potential guidance, his involvement in your work, your relationships, your decisions, your thoughts, your plans, all your ways. When you actively choose to do these three things, trust completely, don't rely solely on your own limited view, and include him in everything Mr. Averitt writes. God makes a promise, and he shall direct thy paths. He takes responsibility for guiding you.
Wow, that's powerful.
Based on this cornerstone scripture, Chaplain David then details the initial tangible steps he suggests for engaging with God in this humble, trusting way. It's about building a consistent connection. This starts with making a commitment to consistently go to church, praying daily, reading your Bible regularly, and giving what you can freely and willingly from your heart, tithing, or offerings, whatever that looks like for you. He explains that by taking these foundational steps, creating that environment of engagement, God will then lovingly and faithfully guide you through the rest of your journey, whatever specific challenges or decisions you face.
He also encourages a profoundly important and immediate step, one he frames as offering assurance of heaven. What is that step, according to his writing?
It's the invitation for Jesus Christ to come into your heart. David Averitt explains this in a very simple, accessible way in his writing. It's essentially asking for forgiveness for your sins and inviting the Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and dwell within you. He presents this as a crucial, immediate step for gaining spiritual assurance. He even offers to help individuals with this step personally or suggests they can simply use online resources, mentioning you can Google how to invite Jesus into your heart to find guidance. It's about making it accessible.
Okay.
Now, it's important to note, and David Averitt emphasizes this nuance again in his memoirs, while these spiritual practices, church, prayer, Bible reading, giving, inviting Jesus into your heart, are presented as essential components of a spiritual journey, he reiterates that they are not rigid, transactional requirements that automatically guarantee hope in isolation. Doing them just to check a box, well, it isn't enough.
So it's more than just the actions themselves.
Right. True, lasting hope, he explains, the kind that transforms, blossoms through genuine connection with God and through the actions that naturally flow from that connection.
What kind of actions does he mean there?
He means actively working together with God's guidance and strength to serve the Lord, to help other people, to become a better person than you were yesterday, and to deeply love and care for your family and children. These actions are the fruit, you see, the natural result of that genuine spiritual connection. And that's where true, tangible hope manifests in daily life.
Okay.
He sees that embracing these principles, the humble engagement with God, the spiritual practices, and these outward actions of service and love naturally leads to excelling in all areas of life. This isn't just about your spiritual state. He believes it spills over into your work, your relationships, your involvement in your community, every other facet of your existence.
So it all circles back to that central theme of our deep dive today. This path David Averitt lays out is really a holistic journey. It's about hope and fundamental improvement. It's something you embark on, often needing support, to truly embrace the opportunity for a second chance that God offers. And Mr. Everett includes another quote here that beautifully connects this idea of the journey and that concept of the key we started with. He says, "Hope's key reminds us that even when the path is dark, the light of a second chance is always within reach." That's such a powerful message, isn't it? That hope isn't something distant or only for those already in the light. It's a key that's accessible even in the most difficult, dark places, reminding you that a new day, a second chance, is genuinely possible.
Yeah, it reinforces that hope is an active principle, something you access with a key, not just a passive wish. It's always there, waiting to be unlocked.
Okay, shifting our focus a bit now, let's delve more specifically into the very nature of hope itself, as described in David Overit's writings and memoirs. He's very clear that this message of hope isn't exclusively for those who are, say, locked up or in the absolute most dire circumstances. It's really a message and a path forward for anyone facing any of life's myriad challenges, big or small.
That accessibility of hope is definitely a core tenet of his message. He presents this message not as some kind of magic wand or an instant fix, but more as guidance. Guidance that leads you to the right people, the resources that God strategically places in our lives to assist us. These could be pastors, counselors, doctors, mentors, specific programs tailored to your needs.
So it's about connection.
Right. It's about connecting the person seeking help with the help that's divinely appointed for them.
He revisits his favorite scripture here too, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, emphasizing how those principles, trusting in the Lord, acknowledging Him, not solely leaning on our own understanding, they underscore the vital importance of tangible actions. He highlights the profound impact that prayer has, the fulfillment and redirection found in volunteering your time and talents to help others, and the essential strength and support gained from consistently attending a local church. He describes these as not just reasonable steps, but crucial, essential ones for genuine improvement and enhancing the quality of your life. Chaplain David also speaks from his own experience here, doesn't he? As a combat veteran, he mentions how utilizing systems like the VA over many years has shown him how deeply these spiritual truths intertwine with practical support systems and how they've significantly shaped his own path forward.
Yeah, he's very grounded in the reality of the human experience. He acknowledges that life is messy. We will stumble. We will make mistakes. That's just part of the journey. But, he writes, what truly defines us, what writes the narrative of our lives, is not the fall itself, but how we choose to rise afterwards.
How you get back up.
Exactly. He introduces the CA Jail Outreach Initiative within this discussion, highlighting their fervent, unwavering belief in the transformative power of second chances. And in the immense, often untapped potential that exists within every single individual, just waiting for the right spark to ignite it.
Okay.
And this leads directly into their core principle, the heart of their mission. They don't just talk about hope or offer it as some theoretical concept. They embody it, they facilitate it, they put Hochul in action.
And he cites Romans chapter 15, verse 13 in the King James Version, a scripture that seems to resonate powerfully with their mission. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." How does he see this verse reinforcing that idea that true hope is a divine, empowering gift, really foundational to their work?
Well, this verse is critical because it explicitly identifies God as the ultimate source. He is the God of hope. It tells us that He fills us with joy and peace, and crucially, that through believing in Him, we can do more than just have hope. We can abound in hope, meaning it overflows, it's abundant, it's a powerful force within us.
Abound in hope.
Oh, yeah. And this abundance, this overflowing hope, comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. David Averitt uses this to show that the hope CA Jail Outreach helps facilitate isn't just human optimism or positive thinking, although those are valuable, of course. It's a spiritual reality, a divine gift empowered by God Himself, a fundamental truth that fuels their mission and makes genuine transformation actually possible. He uses a really effective analogy in his writing, too. He says, imagine a toolkit, but not one made of steel and wood for fixing physical objects. This toolkit is made of support, inspiration, and empowerment. Hope in action, he explains, provides precisely this kind of toolkit. It offers a clear path forward when you feel lost, a tangible chance to rebuild your life piece by piece, and it comes wrapped in an unwavering belief from the people offering it, that a brighter future is not only possible, but is genuinely within your reach.
A toolkit of support.
Exactly. He also brings in Psalm chapter 62, verse 5, again, King James Version. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Discussing the foundation of CA Jail Outreach's work, he explains that their expectation, their unwavering hope for the individuals they serve, is firmly rooted in a loving God who is the source of new beginnings. Their hope isn't based solely on human systems or government programs or even the individual's past track record, which can be unreliable, right?
Sure.
Their hope is based on God's promises and his inherent ability to offer grace and new starts to anyone who turns to him.
Okay, so how does CA Jail Outreach actually take this powerful, divinely sourced concept of hope and translate it into something tangible, something real and actionable that helps people rebuild their lives, especially after significant challenges? This brings us to the framework of their work, with the writing titles, Unlocking Second Chances, How Hope in Action is Rebuilding Lives. And Chaplain David introduces this section with a quote that really drives home the importance of that key metaphor we started with. He says, it's not just about turning a new leaf. It's about finding the key to the entire garden of second chances. And that key is hope.
Wow. That emphasizes that hope isn't just for one small change or one aspect of life. It's the fundamental, essential tool required to unlock every single door that leads to the abundant opportunities of a second chance.
That's it, exactly. And he explains that this framework is built upon four core pillars. And fittingly, these pillars spell out the word hope itself, H-O-P-E.
Okay, so the first pillar, corresponding to the letter H, is helping hands. And the profound meaning behind this is, you are not alone on this journey.
Right.
Starting over, especially after difficult circumstances or maybe a period of incarceration, it can feel incredibly overwhelming, isolating, even impossible if you believe you have to face it entirely alone. That's precisely where the helping hands come in. CA Jail Outreach deeply believes in and embodies the promise from John chapter 14, verse 18 in the King James Version, where Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. They live this out by being that steady, reliable, comforting presence in the lives of those they serve.
Being that presence.
Yes. It's about being that strong, unwavering hand that reaches out into the darkness and confusion. They provide crucial, practical, real-world assistance through a variety of programs, resources, and connections. These helping hands offer tangible support in numerous vital areas. For someone transitioning from a correctional facility, for instance, that might mean navigating the complex process of reentry. This involves helping them recover essential identification documents like birth certificates, state IDs, which are necessary for almost everything else.
Absolutely essential.
It includes assisting with securing temporary housing or shelter, providing a safe place to land initially, and offering transportation assistance that's critical for getting to appointments, job interviews, or necessary services when you're starting from absolute scratch.
Things you don't even think about until you don't have them.
Exactly. The support also covers basic needs and establishing stability. They connect individuals with resources for food assistance, clothing, essential hygiene supplies, ensuring fundamental needs are met. The goal here is to alleviate those immediate pressing pressures so the individual can actually begin to focus on the long-term work of rebuilding and personal growth.
Makes sense.
They also play a vital role in connecting individuals to necessary community services. They act as knowledgeable guides to access vital resources like mental health counseling, substance abuse support programs, and initiatives focused on family reunification, which is often a deeply important part of the healing process for many.
Right. Connecting the dots.
And employment preparedness is another absolutely massive component. A stable job is so foundational to building a new life. So helping hands assists with practical skills like resume building, developing effective job search strategies, and providing referrals to employers who are understanding and open to hiring individuals with past convictions, helping bridge that often difficult gap.
That's huge.
And beyond all this practical support, a critical part of helping hands is connecting people with mentorship and peer support networks. These are often individuals who have walked a similar path, offering invaluable encouragement, wisdom, understanding, and a vital sense of belonging that really combats the isolation that so many feel.
So the message is delivered not just in words, but through very concrete action. You are not alone. They literally walk alongside you, offering both comfort and practical aid every single step of the way. Okay, the second pillar, O, stands for outlook brightness. And the meaning here is focused on sparking your inner light.
Yeah. When you face significant challenges, disappointment, or trauma, it's incredibly easy for your perspective, your outlook on life, to become dim, clouded, or even shrouded in darkness. The mission with Outlook Brightness is to reignite that inner spark, that God-given light within you. helping you not only intellectually understand, but deeply feel the presence of new opportunities and the vibrant potential that still exists within you, regardless of your past.
Reigniting that spark.
Exactly. David Everett weaves in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 in the King James Version here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He describes this powerful verse as a blueprint, a divine promise for the renewed perspective and strength they help individuals cultivate through this pillar.
How do they do that? How do they help cultivate that?
Well, they achieve this by providing a consistent flow of uplifting motivational themes, practical tools specifically designed for personal growth and mindset transformation, and just an unwavering message of possibility that your past does not dictate your future. The entire approach is designed to help clear away the heavy shadows of doubt, despair, self-pity, past failures, allowing that innate inner light, your spirit, your potential to truly shine through, altering how you see yourself and the world.
And he gives some really clear, tangible examples in his writing of how they help spark this outlook brightness. One is transforming negative self-talk. This involves providing techniques and exercises like cognitive restructuring or maybe scripture-based affirmations to challenge those deeply ingrained negative thought patterns and actively replace them with empowering, truth-filled statements about your identity and potential.
Yeah, like countering that voice that says, I'm worthless because of my mistakes, with the truth, I am child of God, made in his image, capable of incredible change and resilience with his help. That kind of shift.
That's powerful. Another crucial example he mentions is celebrating small victories. When you're facing a huge mountain to climb, like rebuilding your entire life, it's easy to get discouraged by the distance left to go.
Mm-hmm.
People often overlook or dismiss small successes. This pillar guides you in identifying and celebrating these mini victories along the way. Attending a support group meeting, successfully completing a job interview, maybe just completing a week without succumbing to old temptations.
Mm-hmm. Those small wins build momentum, they boost confidence, and provide tangible proof that progress is happening. It fuels that sense of hope.
Right.
They also cultivate gratitude through daily practices like journaling, group sharing, or just simple moments of reflection, shifting focus from what's missing or what went wrong to actively identifying and appreciating, say, three things you are thankful for each day. That can profoundly shift your perspective from burdens to blessings.
It changes your focus.
Completely. Vision boarding and goal setting are also practical components. They facilitate workshops or provide resources to help individuals visualize a brighter future. And this isn't just daydreaming. It's about taking those abstract hopes and transforming them into concrete, actionable steps and seeing what you are building towards. Seeing images of a stable home or a desired career or a reunified family can be incredibly motivating and make the future feel much more real.
Yeah, making it concrete.
And finally, providing access to inspirational content is key. Curating and sharing testimonies of others who have overcome similar struggles, relevant scripture stories, motivational talks, sermons available on platforms like YouTube or podcasts, even accessible on jail tablets sometimes. This helps to continuously uplift the spirit and reinforce the message of hope and possibility.
So engaging with these kinds of tools and practices really helps to fundamentally shift your outlook, making the path ahead feel significantly less dim and allowing you to see yourself, maybe for the first time in a long time, with immense God-given potential. Okay, the third pillar P is purpose driving. And the profound meaning here is about helping you unlock your unique potential and discover your God-given purpose.
Yeah, this pillar is built on a deep-seated belief shared by Chaplain David and the whole CA Jail outreach team, that every single individual, regardless of their past, carries a unique, God-given gift and a divine purpose just waiting to be discovered and unleashed. Purpose driving is their passion for empowering individuals to identify these inherent strengths, talents, passions, and the specific calling that God has placed on their life.
Finding that why.
Exactly. It's about providing the specific keys needed to unlock that dormant potential and begin actively steering your life toward meaning, accomplishment, and genuine spiritual fulfillment. David Everett stresses that this journey of purpose discovery is holistic and is supported in several integrated ways. First, a strong spiritual foundation is seen as absolutely essential. This is encouraged through fostering a deep personal connection with God through consistent prayer and dedicated engagement with the Bible. The belief is that understanding God's word is foundational to discerning the unique path and purpose he has for you.
Makes sense.
Community and mentorship are also highlighted as vital components. Finding and walking in your purpose is rarely a solitary endeavor. It's often a journey shared with others. They emphasize the importance of connecting with a supportive local church community and seeking out mentors, people who have successfully navigated similar transitions or who are walking in their own purpose. These relationships provide invaluable guidance, accountability, encouragement, and practical wisdom gained from experience. They help individuals connect with the right mentorship networks, noting that local churches and community programs often offer the best opportunities for this kind of support.
So you're not figuring it out alone.
Right. They also provide essential practical tools and resources to aid in purpose driving. This includes helping individuals identify their strengths and passions through self-assessments, guided discussions, exploring what activities truly ignite their spirit and feel meaningful. But it goes beyond just introspection. It's about equipping individuals with practical strategies to turn those passions and identified strengths into a sustainable livelihood.
Okay, so practical application.
Yes. Providing resources for education and vocational training to enhance skills, connecting individuals with effective job search tools, and offering valuable insights into the current job market to help them find fulfilling employment that actually aligns with their potential.
That's crucial.
And recognizing that life can be busy and learning happens in different ways, David Averitt notes that they guide people toward flexible learning avenues for continuous growth. This includes suggesting enriching YouTube videos, finding meaningful online church services, engaging with transformative podcasts. CA Jail Outreach doesn't necessarily create all these resources themselves, but they are dedicated to providing the guidance and connections to help individuals access content that will build them up and help them refine their purpose.
Connecting them to the right stuff.
Exactly. And he introduces Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the King James Version, which is such a powerful scripture reinforcing this idea. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He explains how this verse underscores the profound truth that we are not accidental beings. We are intentionally crafted by God, his workmanship, and created with a specific intention, a purpose for good works that he planned for us long ago. This provides a solid divine foundation for believing that everyone has a purpose waiting to be lived out.
Wow. His workmanship. That's incredible. So this pillar is profoundly about helping individuals see themselves as God sees them, as valuable creations with unique talents and a divine calling. Whatever your hobby, your natural skill set, or your deepest desire for a new direction, David Averitt and the team at CA Jail Outreach provide the keys to unlock that potential, helping you step intentionally onto the path of purpose driving and into the abundant, meaningful life God has planned for you. And finally, the fourth pillar, E, stands for everyday strength. The meaning behind this is focused on building resilience for lasting change.
Yes. The path toward rebuilding your life and embracing a second chance is rarely linear or without challenges, right?
Definitely not.
There will be setbacks, moments of doubt, old temptations that resurface, difficult days where perseverance feels just impossible. This pillar is all about building that crucial resilience, the inner fortitude, the ability to bounce back from difficulties, to persevere through hardship, and to stay committed to the path forward even when it's really tough.
That's staying power.
Exactly. David Averitt introduces Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 in the King James Version as a powerful embodiment of the source of this everyday strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He explains that the scripture points to finding strength not solely within your own limited willpower, which can definitely falter, but through your connection with Christ, who provides a supernatural, unwavering source of strength that enables you to face and overcome challenges you couldn't conquer alone.
Finding strength through Christ.
Yes. The writing describes this essential strength being built not by avoiding problems, but by actively embracing setbacks, not as crushing failures, but as valuable learning opportunities that teach you and make you stronger for the next challenge.
Learning from the stumbles.
Right. It's also built, crucially, by consistently celebrating every single victory, no matter how small it seems. As we discussed with Outlook Brightness, recognizing and celebrating progress fuels your capacity to keep going. And this pillar is continuously supported by the consistent mentorship and participation in support groups that are facilitated under the Helping Hands pillar. Drawing strength from faith and from community is absolutely vital for lasting resilience.
Faith and community together.
Mm-hmm. Lasting change isn't a one-time decision or a quick fix. It requires ongoing strength and resilience that is nurtured and sustained over time. This pillar emphasizes that this vital strength is continuously fostered and reinforced through your faith in God, your connection to Christ as the source of strength, your engagement with supportive community, and the practical support systems that help you navigate daily life. It's the ongoing process of putting faith into practice to build endurance.
Okay, now that we've explored the framework, let's turn to a section of the writing that really brings it all to life. It's a powerful, real-life story titled Unlocking Second Chances, From Bars to Brilliance, a 2025 Story of Hope in Action. This is Michael's journey.
Yes, Michael's story. It introduces us to him when his world had been confined within the walls of a correctional facility for 5 long years. It was April 2025, and the daunting reality of his impending release was looming large. That initial dream of freedom was heavily overshadowed by this gnawing fear of the unknown, the potential unkindness of a world that often harshly judges those with a past like his, and just the immense challenges of starting over with absolutely nothing.
A frightening prospect.
Absolutely. But then, as the writing describes it, something shifted. CA Jail Outreach came knocking. David Averett introduced himself and his mission, and the story highlights a quote from Mr. Averett that particularly resonated deeply with Michael. "Hope is not a whisper. It's a roar of what's possible."
Wow. A roar.
Yeah. Michael was initially skeptical, you know, hardened by years of disappointment and feeling like a failure. But Chaplain David Averett's consistent presence, reaching out through video conferences available in the facility, sending emails, mailing letters with his picture on them, and his unwavering belief in Michael's inherent potential gradually, persistently, chipped away at that skepticism.
That consistent presence made a difference.
It really did. The story then beautifully details how Michael's journey unfolded as he engaged with each of the Hopi pillars, facilitated by David Averett and his team. First, the H Helping Hands came into action. CA Jail Outreach didn't just offer platitudes. They provided that crucial, real-world, tangible support even before Michael was released. They offered resume-building workshops adapted for his situation, practiced mock interviews with him to boost his confidence, and, critically, helped him secure temporary housing for immediately after his release, removing a huge burden of anxiety.
That practical stuff is so key.
Absolutely. The writing uses Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 in the King James Version here. "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Michael, the story recounts, found not just guidance, but genuine safety and stability in their consistent counsel and practical support. He saw them as a steady, reliable presence, reaching out to lift him up when he felt like he was drowning.
That's amazing.
Next was O Outlook Brightness. When they first connected, Michael was consumed by regret, shame, self-pity about his past choices. The CA Jail Outreach team worked patiently with him to help him shift his perspective, focusing on the strengths he still possessed and, importantly, the hard-earned lessons he had learned through his struggles. They introduced him to motivational content accessible on his jail tablet recordings of inspiring speakers, relevant podcasts, uplifting sermons. The writing notes that Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 in the King James Version became his personal mantra during this time. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things in good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things."
Focusing his mind.
Exactly. By intentionally focusing his thoughts on positive, truthful things, he learned to actively cultivate a brighter outlook, slowly beginning to see the dawn of new opportunities that had been hidden behind his despair.
Then the pillar of P purpose driving truly began to ignite within him. Michael had a natural aptitude and interest in computers,
yeah.
A hidden talent he had long dismissed as just a hobby or something unattainable.
Through self-assessments and guided discussions provided by CA Jail Outreach, he realized this wasn't just a casual interest, but a genuine passion with significant real-world potential.
Finding that spark.
Yes. They connected him with a vocational training program specializing in coding and software development, allowing him to begin acquiring valuable skills before he was even released. David Averett's quote, "Hope is the sunrise after the darkest night. It's the promise of a brand new day," resonated deeply with Michael during this phase. It felt more real and tangible with every line of code he learned.
Making hope concrete.
Exactly. The writing specifically notes that Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 in the King James Version further confirmed his chosen path, revealing God's plan for him was indeed one of peace, prosperity, and a purposeful, expected end. He felt he was on the right track.
That must have been incredibly affirming.
Immensely. Finally, the pillar of everyday strength became his unshakable foundation as he transitioned back into society. Life outside the facility was, predictably, still challenging. Old temptations lingered in his environment. The stigma of his past felt like a heavy weight sometimes. But through consistent mentorship from Chaplain David and others, and by actively participating in support groups facilitated by CA Jail Outreach, Michael learned profound resilience.
Building that muscle.
Right. He learned to embrace setbacks, not as reasons to give up, but as inevitable parts of the process that taught him valuable lessons. He learned the importance of celebrating every single victory, no matter how small, securing an interview, making it through a tough day without giving in to temptation, successfully navigating a difficult interaction. The writing uses Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 in the King James Version as Michael's personal declaration during this time, embodying his renewed strength found through faith. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He drew strength from that promise.
Wow, what a journey. The story then fast forwards slightly to June 2025, just a couple of months after his release. Michael, who could have easily remained just another statistic defined by his past, is now described as a powerful, living success story. He's working as a junior software developer at a growing tech startup. His coding skills, honed through that training, are in demand, and he's demonstrating competence and dedication. That's incredible.
It really is. And perhaps most inspiringly, he's actively giving back. He dedicates his time to volunteering with CA Jail Outreach, offering hope and practical advice to others still inside correctional facilities. He regularly attends a local church recommended by the outreach, is consistent in reading his Bible and praying daily, and gives back financially from what he now earns.
Paying it forward.
Exactly. He eagerly shares his testimony, using his own journey to mentor others in similar situations, actively helping them find their own path to a second chance, using the very framework that transformed his life.
His transformation is truly remarkable, a powerful illustration of the potential for change. His past is no longer a shadow hanging over him, defining his limitations. Instead, it has become a testament to the transformative power of genuine hope, built on a foundation of faith and supported by the unwavering practical assistance he received from David Abbott and CA Jail Outreach. He is not only building a stronger foundation for his own future, but he is actively painting a brighter future for others, living a life demonstrably driven by purpose and fueled by hope.
And the writing concludes Michael's inspiring story with a direct address from Chaplain David Everett to Michael, a challenge that really encapsulates the core message. Don't just dream of a second chance. Grab hope's key and build it. Michael's life, in just a few short months, is presented as a living, breathing testament to the absolute truth and power of that statement. He built it.
Grab hope's key and build it. Wow. The writing also includes a moment of reflection and prayer, acknowledging that this work is rooted in faith and seeking divine guidance and blessing. We'd like to share that prayer now directly from David Averitt's memoirs.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the remarkable story of Michael, a testament to your boundless grace and the power of second chances. We pray for all who yearn for a fresh start that they may encounter the same unwavering hope and practical support that transformed Michael's life. May your light shine upon every individual, guiding them toward their purpose and filling them with the strength to overcome any obstacle. Bless the work of all outreach initiatives, that they may continue to be your hands and feet in bringing hope and healing to those in need. Amen.
Amen. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the insightful writings of David Everett, we've explored several key takeaways, haven't we? We've seen the crucial importance of seeking genuine spiritual and personal steps that come from a sincere heart, rather than succumbing to external pressure. We've understood that humbly engaging with God, trusting Him fully, and acknowledging Him in all things is the foundational nature of finding true guidance and direction. We've seen that hope isn't just a fleeting wish. It's a powerful, steadfast anchor for the soul, a divine gift that empowers.
Mm-hmm. And we've broken down the practical, life-changing power of the hope framework. H for helping hands, ensuring you are not alone. O for outlook brightness, sparking that inner light and shifting perspective. P for purpose driving, helping you unlock your unique, God-given potential. And E for everyday strength, building the resilience needed for lasting change through Christ and community.
It truly embodies the powerful message from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in the King James Version, which is cited in the writing and captures the essence of what a second chance through faith offers. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the reality of a fresh start, a complete renewal, available to everyone.
Absolutely. The overarching message from Mr. Averitt's writing, and certainly from Michael's story, is clear. The journey of 1,000 miles, the journey to a new life, it begins with a single step. And sometimes that very first brave step is simply taking the initiative to reach out for help.
And they emphasize in the writing that they are genuinely here to help. They want to connect with you, listen to your story without judgment, and support you in finding a way forward, helping you grab your own key. Your story matters, your potential future matters, and you absolutely fundamentally do not have to figure it all out alone.
That's right. And if you know anyone, maybe a friend, a family member, someone in your community who is struggling, who feels lost or needs hope, the direct call to action from the writing is simple and powerful. Let them know about this message or share their website with them directly.
That website address is very easy to remember. www.twintchailoutreach.org.
That's CAJAILOUTREACH.ORG. You can also find information about their work and connect with them on social media directly through their website as well.
I like what Michael says.
Don't just dream of a second chance. Grab Hopi's key and build it.
That was from Chaplain David Averitt.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Averitt, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.